This result for Donald Trump is being described as a gigantic upset, but is it? Maybe the problem is in the way voters' preferences are measured. Polling and big data aggregators are all scraping the egg off their faces today. The New York Times had Clinton with an 85% chance of winning. 538 predicted 71.4%. What does that mean? And the Princeton Election Consortium predicted around 99.9%. Sam Wong is a neuroscientist and data analyst at Princeton University who co-founded the consortium. He joined us a few days ago to talk about that very high number. He's back with us. Sam, what the heck happened?
Well, let's see. I think that if you're asking me the question, then you're asking what happened with prediction and polling. And to take it at that level, what happened is about a 4 percentage point error in polls and state polls, national polls, Senate polls. And so it appears not just for Trump, but for Republicans in general, there was a hidden bonus that is larger than any bonus that has been seen in recent election cycles. And so what happened there was that there is some vein of Trump voters and Republican voters that was not captured by opinion polling in this year's election cycle.
Which suggests, you know, partly that, you know, Trump is an unusual character, but it also reflects, and you're a scientist, there is error accumulating in the polling process that you folks have not been able to deal with. And it's both the elasticity of what people tell you and the invisibility of other people whose actions become decisive. What are you going to do about that?
If you're asking me as a scientist, then I think the question is, okay, if we want to fix polling, then one thing to do would be to find a way to identify the preferences of these undecided voters, because if you stop and think about it, it's a little mind-bending that someone is likely to vote yet unable to state a preference. And so if there was some way to tease out that hidden preference, then I think that would be one possible way, and that would be a good experiment to do to see if that could be used to repair polling.
Sam, is there a question here about methodology? I know that one of the things that I've been watching for a couple of years since I co-authored a poll for my first book is the connection between class status, race, and people being reachable, right? So I know that the data, the research has shown that low-income minority voters are often harder to poll for that very reason. They don't have landlines. They're more transient. That's one of the reasons people were shocked by African-Americans outvoting other groups for Obama in 2012. Is there a possibility that the same problem in terms of polling applies to lower income whites, and that is why this chunk of voters got missed? Is that something we're going to look
at? In the other direction where they're hard to reach and yet went out to vote. Is that what you mean by that?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that is entirely possible. So I think that one thing that's going to come out as people drill into exit polls, since I am not a pollster, I don't have access to the models that pollsters have. And so this is easily answerable by simply drilling into exit polling data, which itself has some issues of sampling, but basically comparing the pattern of who voted and asking the question of how well or poorly that matches with likely voter models. And so that, yes, another possibility is that the demographics that seem to have been pretty strong for Trump all along are whites who didn't go to college and white evangelicals. And so these are groups of voters, one that you've mentioned, and we can ask the question of whether they were missed somehow simply because they were not reachable by, say, landline, cell phone, or email.
Sam, I'm telling you, I love you, but I really feel as though there's a much bigger transformation going on here, and that is in the era of social media, people are used to playing different roles, changing their identity, saying things to just try stuff out. And I don't see why there's any reason you would expect anything people say to pollsters to be honest. I mean, it's a garbage in, garbage out kind of situation. And as far as your argument that Donald Trump doesn't behave like other candidates, so that explains this, that means if you run a chimp for president, he's more likely to win because the pollsters will miss the chimpness of him or something. I don't know. It's very puzzling.
Yeah, so you know, can this be fixed with a Band-Aid by just simply coming up with better ways to interview people through polls? I mean, right. So let's say we were to pitch the whole polling idea and just go in some totally different direction. A possibility would be to use hidden preferences. So, for instance, one of my readers at the Princeton Election Consortium did some calculations and showed that Google search terms on completely other subjects having nothing to do with political preference could be used to learn something about the demographics of, say, Trump preference or Kasich preference or Cruz preference. And so basically using statistical learning and using the giant amounts of data available to Google, she was able to infer levels of support for candidates. And so one possibility, if it's important to us as a community, as a nation, to know in advance what people's preferences are, then one way to do it would be to just do a total end run around the concept of polling and find other ways to measure how it is that people feel about who they're going to vote for.
Thanks so much for talking to us today and on all the times that we've gotten instructive insights from you, Sam.
Thanks a lot.
Sam Wong is a neuroscientist at Princeton University and a data analyst and founder of the Princeton Election Consortium.